This is the Billy and the Brian Show. Billy knows what Brian knows. How to be snarky, how to be silly, how to be funny, how to be witty, how to be Brian, how to be Billy.
It's me.
That's really, really good to know because it's our show.
I haven't heard that song forever.
Yeah, me too.
It's so long. Oh, boy.
We were renewed. New season of the Billy and Brian Show. Fresh for 2016. Yay. Oh, it was weird the way that applause died off.
Yeah.
Right? When I said fresh for 2016, I was like, the computer.
Doesn't it usually taper off?
Yeah. It was like the computer was like, nah, I'm done.
I guess the studio audience was like, oh, shit, I've still been writing 2015 on my checks.
Or they were like, I thought we were at Mike and Tommy Snacks.
Or they were like, oh shit, I'm still writing checks in 2016?
That's a good point. I used to only write a check for like my monthly rent, and now even that's online.
I did in my first period class. I have a late book that kids sign in when they're walking late so that I don't have to stop and take their attendance all the time.
Right.
And I was still writing December. On the dates in there, so
that's weird. Were you writing December, but 2016?
No, I just wrote like 12/7 or 12/8.
You weren't like 12/42. It was 12/39, 12/40. Yeah.
It was 1/9 or 1/10 before I realized that it was not December.
Wow.
Yeah.
You gotta start drinking coffee again.
I'm not very good at numbers.
Yeah. Brian's a math teacher.
What's up?
Brian's accounting teacher.
And it's episode 803.
I don't remember what it was. We were watching something recently. It's like, I'm an English teacher, not a counting teacher.
Was it Star Trek? Did he say, I'm a Dr. Jim, and I'm not the Scottish one.
I think it might have been in The Big Short, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was on a sitcom I watched recently.
How was that?
Oh, it was on Goldberg's. That's where it was. Big Short was great. Highly recommended.
We'll see if it was one of your top five movies pretty soon.
Spoiler alert, just missed the top five.
Ouch.
It might have been number six. What happened was I remembered another movie from early in the year, and I was like, ooh, one of you got to go. Sorry, Big Short.
Poor Big Short.
But it's
it great. Always comes up just a little short.
I was wondering where you're going with that. No, maybe it wasn't. Okay. So this is our best of 2015 episode. You might be thinking to yourself, wasn't your last episode best of 2014?
Yeah, we're on the new yearly schedule, right?
Nice.
One podcast a year.
I don't remember what our last episode was. Was it best of 2014?
It was. There were two best of 2014s.
Nice.
It was that long.
Okay.
It was like we got snowed in and just had to keep recording and recording and recording.
Right. So big shout out to Vincent, who demanded a new episode.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Is he one of your running friends?
No, it's one of my wife's co-worker's boyfriend.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Hi, Vincent.
The boyfriend of one of my wife's co-workers.
Your wife's boyfriend's co-worker.
Wait, no.
I'm pretty sure we got that right. So, moving on.
Wait.
2015, what a year.
Yeah, great. Good year for movies. Good year for podcasts.
I don't know if it was an amazing year for movies.
I really liked all my top five movies, and had a hard time.
I really liked my top five. I guess I didn't see as many movies as I did. I mean, I saw a lot of movies. I didn't see a lot of new movies.
Am I like top three movies or like all fantastic?
Yeah, I would say my top six, seven, eight movies were great. Nine movies were great, but that was about half the movies I saw, so.
Gotcha. That sounds like a good year for movies.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like last year I had a ton of movies, but we'll see.
My problem is, too, is that I still haven't seen a bunch of movies from last year. Like, I haven't seen The Revenant yet, so it's not on my list.
I just saw The Revenant. It was good. It was cold.
Was it top five worthy?
It was grisly.
Ooh. Especially that scene with the bear and the maiden fair.
In writing.
By maiden fair, I mean the raping.
Grizzly's a homophone. But in speaking, it sounds the same both ways. So I meant grizzly like grizzly bear and grizzly like...
Leo's getting raped by a bear.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't think there was insertion. But, you know, anything without consent. We don't need to talk about the definition.
So should we get right into our best of list?
I guess we might as well talk about our top five movies if we're talking about them.
And for anybody who's new, we always do a top five list, but for their year-end episode... also known as our only episode anymore. We do five top five lists, and this time it's going to be movies, TV, music albums, podcasts, and books.
Gotcha.
I don't know why I said books that way. That was kind of weird.
I thought we were speaking the rest of it in German.
Oh.
Ich spreche Deutsch.
Perfect, Nguyen.
Oh, yeah. I also enjoy driving.
Device,
so, movies. Sound movies happened. There are a couple really bad movies, too.
Oh, my
Boy,
God. Yeah,
Zach Braff made a bad movie.
I didn't see that. Oh, it looked, but it was, his, like, Garden State was great. And
I
then,
still love Garden State. Garden State has gotten a lot of backlash ever since, like, a year after
Garden
it came out.
Things after Garden State were not
and
very good.
I like the Last Kiss, except his character is horrible, and I wanted him to get stabbed. But the movie overall was okay.
Yeah.
But this one was like Garden State for grown-ups and terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you help kickstart it?
I did not.
Yeah. That thing was like funded in like a day, though.
Yeah, I have no problems with people wanting to give their money to Zach Braff. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that backlash of, you're rich, you can finance a movie all by yourself, which doesn't really work like that.
Yeah,
but I was like, no, he's going to make this movie. He doesn't need me.
Yeah, I kickstarted Spike Lee's new movie. I haven't seen it yet, though. I really just
Oh, is that the one that came out? That was the Kickstarter one?
Yeah, The Sweet Blooded Jesus.
Oh, I was saying Chirac.
No.
Oh, did that come out then?
The Sweet Blooded Jesus? I think it did.
I didn't know that.
I think it came and went.
Huh.
But I only kickstarted it because I wanted like Spike Lee's autograph. And I have it now on a 40 acres and a mule patch.
Nice.
Also on a Malcolm X patch. I kickstarted it twice from two different accounts.
Oh, okay.
Each one was like $5 or $10.
I have a Veronica Mars t-shirt and DVD.
Nice. I just kickstarted running tights from some Australian company.
I like to have a little more modesty in my running clothing. They were tight tights.
Yeah, no, I like running tights. At least in the winter. So.
All right, top five Kickstarters. I got a really nice watch. That's number five.
That is a nice watch. Brian's watch is made of wood.
Yeah. I actually got... That's not the Kickstarter one. That was the one that they offered a deal on their older... It was Kickstarter, but I didn't Kickstarter it. Kickstartering one, they offered a deal to buy the other ones they made on sale.
Gotcha. What's the previous watch? They're made of straw?
There are some that are made of marble.
Oh, brick. Yeah. This is the Three Little Pigs Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm still waiting for a pressurized growler for beers that, man, people are angry at them because it's been taking a long time.
The first Kickstarter I ever did was for a Settlers of Catan board.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the board, but they also had a Seafarer's version. And I did double board package. Still waiting on that Seafarer's board. So many years later, they did a second Kickstarter to help fund the first Kickstarter. And I was like, you got my money once already. You're not getting this again. And some people double dipped and are like doubling angry now. But I'm like, they fooled you once, you know, shame on them. Fool you twice. Shame on
you. When I was going through for the growler to see what my order number was to figure out when I might expect them to ship it, because they've started shipping. I thought I saw one that I was like, oh, yeah, they never sent that to me. But it turned out it just didn't get funded. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and then another Kickstarter I did, it was for like a comic book, and I got like a page of original comic art from it, and I saw the artist at a convention, and I was like, oh, I did your Kickstarter. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry if we haven't sent you your thing yet. I was like, you sent me my thing like immediately. I was like, and you sent me an original art page. I thought I was just going to get some random page. You sent me like the splash page for the issues, like, you know, big full page. And he was like, oh, he's like, so you're happy. And I'm like, very.
Yeah. But I do love Kickstarter. My friend Katie works for Kickstarter and it's great.
Oh, yeah. Kickstarter is wonderful. My favorite Kickstarter was for the Silver Bells. And that delivered excellently.
It was one of my top five.
Yeah.
And it did deliver on time.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame the growler people. They're working with China, and that's a long shipping time. And if parts aren't made well and your growler leaks, you probably wouldn't be happy. So, you know, but people are like, update me more. And there's no update. It's not ready yet.
Yeah, that seems to be the same with the Catan board. They like they machine a piece, and they're like, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah, so the board doesn't fit in it. Sorry, we're going to fix it instead of giving it to you now.
Yeah.
All right, what other websites do you like? Oh, that's not what we're here for. Wait a second.
Wait, that's a top five.
Oh, man.
I don't know how to count that high.
Top six? Who ever heard of that?
Yeah, that's not me.
Ridiculous six.
So top five movies for 2015, Brian.
What was your top five movie?
My number five movie was Brooklyn. Small movie, but nominated for an Oscar.
That's my number one borough.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. I was a little iffy on it just because it's a movie that only old people seem to be recommending to me.
It looks kind of like Far and Away, and I love Far and Away.
It's like Far and Away with less boxing and less...
I could use less boxing.
And less fiddle music.
I don't remember that much
fiddle. I feel like there was a lot of fiddle and flute music because they were like, we have to make this very Irish.
That's right. There's one part where Tom Cruise in his horrible accent said... Fiddle me this, Nicole Kidman.
How you like them apples?
Or potatoes.
Yeah, how you like them potatoes? Potato. Brooklyn.
Yeah, I
want to
see that. I like Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
I just like saying your name, Saoirse.
Yeah, she does have a fun name. We are not naming our daughter Saoirse, though.
Saoirse?
Yeah. It sounds like Saoirse. And
Cersei?
Yeah.
Wait, were you saying seriously or Cersei?
Seriously.
Okay.
Cersei.
So you are naming your daughter Cersei.
Oh, no, it sounds like you're saying
sure.
I don't want to put my daughter through that. If you're listening to this, future daughter, you're welcome.
If you're listening to this, Billy's future daughter, why?
That's a good question.
I mean, this is an old podcast by the time you would understand anything we're saying.
She wants
But we put out at least one more episode by the time you're listening to this.
Hopefully.
My number five was Ant-Man.
Yeah, Ant-Man just missed my
top five. I do love that Paul Rudd. And Kate from Lost is still pretty smoking.
The reason it didn't make my top five is that I thought it was a little too similar to the first Iron Man movie.
Okay, I could kind of see that.
The plot was very similar to the first Iron Man movie.
A little bit. I think, was the bad guy the same as the bad guy in the first Iron Man movie?
Kind of, because it was like...
I feel like it was a bald dude.
So Michael Douglas invents basically a superhero suit, and then his business partner... his business partner.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like betrays him and like ousts him from the company and steals the suit. And I was like, wait a second, this is the same thing Obadiah Stane did in the first Iron Man movie, and then makes a better / more powerful version of the suit, and the hero has to best him in the original version.
All right, you're right. All right, so
but I did like
Ant-Man sucked.
My number five was
Jurassic World. A lot of people hated Jurassic
World.
Really?
I loved it.
I thought it was great.
Jurassic World was my number one movie for most of the year.
In reboots that were a lot like the original movie, this was a good year for those.
It took a lot to dethrone Jurassic World as my best movie of 2015.
And
totally worth seeing in 3D.
I guess it came out fairly early, didn't it?
It was out in the springtime or the summer. I think it was in May or June.
I feel like Everything I Have Above It came out after it anyway. So
Everything I Have Above It came out after it, totally.
Anyway, so number five, Ant-Man.
Number five, Ant-Man, yes. And that would have been my number six or seven movie for the year. My number four is Star Wars Episode 7,
wow.
The Force Awakens. I know,
number
right?
Four?
You thought it'd be number one.
Whoa.
At lowest, number two.
I wouldn't have been surprised if it was number one.
Yeah,
now
man.
I gotta think, well.
And I love the movie, don't get me wrong. I think J.J. Abrams did a great job with it. I went into that movie basically skipping down the subway platform and then had to tell myself, lower your expectations. I went in, hoping it would be good, and I absolutely loved it. I thought Star Wars The Force Awakens was a great, wiping away of the aftertaste left by the prequels.
By the what?
The prequels.
The what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what that word means.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been, 32 years?
Yeah,
since,
32 years since the last Star Wars
since the last
movie,
Star Wars
Jedi.
Movie.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll ever get those episodes 1, 2, and 3 that we were promised.
Huh. Maybe someday.
Someday.
Maybe someday.
Star Wars Episode 7, though, loved it. And it makes me really excited for Episode 8 and also these spin-off side story movies that they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I walked out of it thinking that was a very close to a shot-for-shot remake of Episode 4. It was... Like, every single beat was the same, but it was so good I didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously had to do some of that on purpose, but I was a little, like, do we need a different cantina band? Is that just there to, like, stroke the fans? But, you know, it was good.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff there that I think was there for fan service and kind of like an homage to the original Star Wars movie. But at the same time, I didn't feel as if they were retreading the first Star Wars movie.
No.
They did, like, seem to be like, okay, this is like the Death Star, but like 10 times bigger and more powerful and can, like, take out 5 planets.
Yeah.
You know, without moving anywhere, as opposed to the Death Star, which had to, like, travel somewhere.
And I feel like my biggest criticism of it, which I wouldn't even think of without reading other articles with a bunch of stupid criticisms, was, like, they destroyed a bunch of planets that I didn't know anything about and care anything about. It was like, we're going to kill all these people. And I'm like, I don't know them.
Yeah. It
like, it's not Princess Leia's family this time, so I guess it's, like, her coworkers. But, yeah, and my new girlfriend is amazing. God, I can't wait to see her. Yeah.
Rey is fantastic. And there was a lot of backlash with the merchandising for that movie because there wasn't much Rey merchandise when the movie came out.
I saw something that said they didn't want to, like, spoil things by putting her in it.
Which I think
I don't
is BS.
Know if I agree with that. Yeah. And I also, like, saw headlines that said that when I was not reading anything because I hadn't seen the movie yet. So I don't have any more to say about that, but...
Well,
I don't know.
Action figure companies always short pack, like, the female hero. Like,
yeah.
Princess Leia figures are
I did see they're putting Black Widow into the next Avengers thing.
Okay.
Or, I guess, Civil War.
Right.
So, hopefully this time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's just dumb.
Yeah, I just feel like executives are out of touch.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a little kid, what do you want to do with your action figures? You have them make out with each other.
Exactly.
That's all you do. And it's not a problem making Han and Luke make out with each other. But
I got no problem with that.
I don't know. I guess these toy makers are just pushing the gay agenda.
It's Luke and Leia, not Han and Luke. Wait a second. Now I'm advocating for sibling love.
Wait. It is a slippery slope. Just like that slippery slope when that thing happened in the movie. Are we spoiling it yet? Yeah. No, spoilers are totally good. There was snow. It was probably slippery.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you were talking about a certain character meeting a certain doom.
Wait, are you talking about the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom?
The Fantastic Four movie didn't make my top five, but would not have made my top five worst, my bottom five movies of the year either. I feel like that was overplayed how bad that movie was. It was about as good as Man of Steel is.
Yeah, I didn't see it. It didn't look good.
It's pretty good.
But I didn't see it.
It's worth watching.
At least... two of the people were good actors. I don't remember who else was in it.
I'll put it this way. It's the best Fantastic Four movie that's out there.
I don't know. Those cartoon movies from the 90s or the 80s.
Yeah, there was a Fantastic Four series in the 90s. That was kind of weak.
I don't know. I kind of remember it.
Definitely better than the two Jessica Alba movies.
Yeah. Man, I saw her in something. She's not good.
She's an actress?
Yeah.
She's very pretty, though.
I feel like I thought her face was kind of weird looking, too.
Really?
This movie I watched because she was a math teacher in it, and I was like, maybe I'll show this in my classes if it's decent, and it was kind of terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You remember what it's called?
Maybe The Invisible Sign, or that could be 100% the wrong title.
The Invisible Cosign?
I don't know. Ooh, I don't get it. What's that mean?
One day you'll be a math teacher.
All right, no more tangents. Let's go.
Like every time we talk about you being a math teacher, it's an advertisement for the charter school system.
My number four movie was Trainwreck.
I didn't see Trainwreck.
Oh, it was really funny.
I want to see it.
And it was really good. And I have not seen Room with Brie Larson, but she was amazing in either last year or the year before is my favorite movie. Not SEAL Team 6. Something 6. Uh-oh. That one movie, I'll name it eventually.
The Fantastic Six, the sequel to Fantastic Four?
Nope. But she was Amy Schumer's sister in Trainwreck, and like she had a very touching moment, and it was amazing. And so it was funny. It was a decent enough plot for a rom-com.
Right.
And, it had some touching moments.
And Bill Hader's in that, right?
Yeah.
I love Bill
Hader.
He
was good.
He's so funny.
I mostly love Bill Hader. There are times when I don't, but I mostly do.
Is the mostly yes when he's Stefan?
I like Stefan, but I mean, there's just so much stuff on Saturday Night Live that's not good that it kind of favors or disfavors my impression of a lot of the people on it.
Interesting.
Let's see. That movie must have come out a long time. I don't know what that movie was called.
I feel like for like the first two-thirds of an SNL are usually... like the first half hour of SNL is usually like really good.
And I don't know.
The final 45 minutes seems to be like where they put sketches that they really kind of don't even care about.
Short Term 12. That's what it was. Not Never SEAL Team 6. Short Term 12. It was my number one movie of 2013. I don't know. Did we do this podcast in 2013?
I believe we did.
Oh.
I've never heard of that movie.
No, Brie Larson was a counselor at like a foster home. Not a foster home, but a foster home was when you're in someone's actual home. But like, you know, a child.
Like an orphanage.
An orphanage kind of thing. But not, like not the way you think of orphanage. No, there are no cider house rules.
Brian has a really like fancy wine bottle opener that I cannot.
It is the simplest wine opener. I mean, I don't blame you for not understanding it.
Yeah, okay, that is.
It's not 100% intuitive, but it is the easiest thing to use in the world.
That is actually much easier than the one I.
What was your number three movie?
My number three movie. It's funny. I wrote them out like five, and then reordered them with parentheses next to them, so I have to like look through my list to see what number three was. My number three was Jurassic World, which we touched on already. Chris Pratt was awesome in it. The only, like, I have no quibbles with this movie other than the fact that the lead lady in it was like running around Jurassic World with heels on for most of the movie, which I just don't understand at all. Like, how are you running around the backwoods of Jurassic Park or Jurassic World with heels?
I think not Jessica Chastain said that she did it because, you know, that would have been true for her character. That, you know,
like dying,
she had heels on and then she had to run around. But, you know, at some point she did stop that one time and have to convince Chris Pratt to come back out. So there was definitely time to throw on some sneakers.
Yeah. And I feel like they were in the shed once, and she could have grabbed, like, some boots. Maybe she didn't grab boots then? I don't know.
I feel like she took the shoes off at one point. Yeah. I mean, I would rather run around... I mean, I don't actually know from experience, but I feel like I would rather run around in heels than barefoot.
I disagree.
Because I hate walking around barefoot, like, in twigs and stuff. My feet are just too
If you're in heels, you're basically, like, walking on your toes and trying to balance on a tiny point on your heel.
Yeah. I mean, you could just be, like, that Mentos commercial and, like, snap off the heel and then... It still isn't quite exactly the same as a regular shoe.
Yeah, I feel
like Mentos made it work.
That is true. Mentos did make that look like then you suddenly have flats on and not like some oddly shaped ski boot shaped flat.
By the way, Billy, I love your pinstriped suit. Where did you get those pinstripes painted on? Did you roll around a park bench? You're not remembering this Mentos commercial. There's that Mentos commercial where that guy like sat on a bench or something and got wet paint on him. But then he rolled around on the bench to make perfect pinstripes on his suit.
Nice. I don't remember.
Because
that
would,
at all.
Like the heels, that would totally work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, yeah, if you pop a Mentos, it'll work. Other than that, like, I don't see how.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Jurassic Park, my third best movie. And again, this was what was in line to be number one for most of the year.
I'm curious to see what happened. I guess there's only three that came after that.
Yeah.
I'm just doing some, I don't know. I'm very curious what happened. Anyway, my number three was Ex Machina. Did you see Ex Machina?
No.
It was, you know what it is though, right?
I've seen the commercials for it, maybe.
I feel like the popularity of that movie has been much expanded in my mind because they talk about it on Doug Loves Movies kind of a lot.
I don't really.
Just because like every so often somebody new has seen it and they mention it and he loved it and... They're like, it's great.
Yeah, there was a comic book series, Ex Machina, in like the late 90s, early 2000s, but I'm guessing it has nothing to do with that. It's not about the mayor of New York who used to be a superhero, right?
It's a common enough part of a phrase that I could see being reused.
Sure, sure.
Oscar Isaac has made...
No, I was asking if Saoirse Ronan is in it.
No, it's Alicia Vikander from The Danish Girl.
Ah, gotcha.
Although I think Eddie Redmayne was The Danish Girl, not her.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Eddie Redmayne is The Danish Girl.
But... trying to remember how much I can say about the movie without spoiling it. But Oscar Isaac has made a robot woman, played by Alicia Vikander, and he invites somebody who I think is somebody you've heard of, and to kind of test her and like interact with her to see how good of a, you know, human-like robot she is.
Mm-hmm.
And things progress from there, and it's awesome.
Oh, gotcha. I think her was in your top five like last year.
Yeah.
I'm starting to notice a theme, Brian.
Yep.
You want a virtual girlfriend.
Yep.
Aw.
I mean, we haven't gotten to BB-8 yet. Bleep bloop.
My number two movie was The Martian.
BB-8's a girl, right?
I'm sorry. My number two. Yeah. My number
actually, BB-8 can't be a girl. As like Daniel Radcliffe, BB-8 is all ball.
My number two movie is not The Martian. My number two movie, though, is also based on a book, and it's Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
That was really good. I don't think I even put that on my list of
watched. Spoiler alert, it's also on my top list of books I read this year.
Oh.
Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl was great. I think it really helped that that the writer of Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, Jesse Andrews, also wrote the screenplay for the movie.
Hmm.
And he clearly, I think, has experience in screenwriting before then, because
experience in Dying Girls.
part of the book is written out in screenplay form as well. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it pretty recently and did not put it on my list of movies I had watched. It could have jumped ahead of Ant-Man, maybe Trainwreck. But I felt I liked it a lot, but I wasn't totally sure how much I liked it.
Gotcha. I absolutely loved it.
There were parts of me that were, I mean, it was very Precious and Twee, which are two things I love.
Yeah.
But it just felt like it went maybe a little far. So at the end, I was like, not totally sure how much I like that, but I definitely enjoyed it.
I also like that it was filmed on location in Pittsburgh. And since my wife's from Pittsburgh, I recognize a lot of those locations. I even filmed part of it in a indie comic book and DVD store.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wait.
That I've been in a couple of times.
Was it a?
It's basically the store where they go to buy like the indie movies that they watch.
Was it just like a montage of them?
No,
picking
no.
Up
there's a couple of scenes where actually then the owner of the store is in it too.
Huh. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
When I realized, I feel like it wasn't immediately obvious that it was in Pittsburgh, but when I realized, I started looking out for things and I didn't notice anything because I've been to Pittsburgh once.
Right. You're like, that's not the Eaton Park.
And I was like, oh, yeah, Pittsburgh.
But and what I really loved about the movie was, you know, the short movies that they made. There was like a whole second unit working on that movie that was just in charge of making those shorts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I haven't seen the DVD, so I'm really hoping that the DVD does include like all of the shorts, because I would love to see the ones that they left out.
I think
well.
I did see it on DVD, and I don't remember. But like Netflix DVDs often don't have the special features.
Which is such a bummer. Like, I do not get
it
that
make,
at all.
No, it makes a lot of sense, because otherwise why would you ever buy the DVD?
Yeah, but why?
So it gives you some reason to buy a DVD if you really want the extra stuff.
Redbox does that too. And I'm like, well, why would I even rent a DVD then? Why wouldn't I just like wait for it to stream or something?
Because you don't want to wait.
Mm, okay, fair enough. I think it's silly though. Like, don't even have special features that as an option, but they're just to show you like, oh, we're not giving this to you. It makes me actually not want to buy the movie on DVD.
I mean, Paula Cole's got to watch movies too, and she don't want to wait for her life to be over just to go to Netflix. She's got to go to Redbox.
Do, 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 do.
That's, in fact,
do, do,
I just wrote a Redbox
do,
commercial. It's Paula Cole do, saying, do, this isn't on Netflix. I don't want to wait.
On Netflix.
Let's see. Are we on number two?
Yeah, that was my number two.
My number two was Star Wars.
Ah.
I thought it was really good.
Oh, that was really good, too.
I saw it twice.
I only saw it once. Maybe if I saw it twice, it would have moved higher on my list.
I liked it the same amount. Although some
Driver
people
was
I was watching it with liked it more the second time.
Interesting.
But I think that was mostly people who expected too much from it the first time, or just expected more than it could possibly deliver.
Of course.
Like, I was trying to be measured. And when I saw it the first time, I was like, I think this would look better in 3D. And it looked like the same movie in 3D.
Interesting. I thought it looked great in 3D.
I think Avatar is the only thing where I've really been like, that 3D was good enough to pay for.
I saw a funny webcomic where the guy was like, I've seen Star Wars 5 times so far, just because I don't want Avatar to be the number one movie of all time.
Did you hear about the reshuffling of release dates?
I did see that
Star Wars is not coming out till Christmas next year,
right, or of 2017,
December 2017, yeah. and Avatar was supposed to come out within a week of that time, but they just, like, 2 days after the Star Wars thing, they pushed that back a couple weeks because they're filming two Avatars at once.
Oh, okay.
Because they're making a trilogy, apparently.
Similar to Back to the Future.
I was going to say The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because James Cameron, he just wants his Avatars more than anybody else does.
Yeah. I think Star Wars Episode 7 is a better movie than Avatar.
Oh, yeah. Avatar, I liked it at the time, but that was one movie where when I read about the backlash, I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, it wasn't... I mean, it was a lot of fun, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, I thought it was great when I saw it in the theater. I could see, like, Avatar having the effect on a lot of 10 to 14-year-old minds when it came out. The way that, like, Terminator 2 affected 10 to 14-year-olds when that movie came out. I say that being a 10 to 14-year-old at that point.
Wait, you were like, I really want a motorcycle and a shotgun?
I still look back on Terminator 2 as like, wow, that movie was amazing. And I could see, like, if you're in that sweet spot of, you know, late childhood, early teenage years when Avatar came out, that might be like one of your favorite movies ever.
I guess. I don't know. I just don't feel... I don't know. Maybe, I guess I was old enough when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is just like the plight of Native Americans, and it's a big allegory, and it's kind of ham-fisted. But I would not expect a 10 to 14-year-old to think that. I would think, whoa, he just jumped on that bird and hooked his ponytail up. That was sweet.
That was sweet.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
What's your number one movie of the year?
I kind
of
gave it away when I was like, oh, The Martian's not my number two movie. That's because it's my number one movie. I can't get enough of this movie. It's been played rather often in the Hanahan household.
I liked it, but I went in strategically and I chose not to read the book because I wanted to like the movie a lot. And I was like, this movie looks really cool. I don't want to have to think, the book was better.
Yeah.
And so I chose to watch, the book was better. So I chose to watch the movie first. And then I liked it okay, but I didn't love it. Although I didn't see it in the theater, so that could affect a little bit.
I saw The Martian in the theater. I read most of the book first. I was reading it on my Kindle, and I got 96% of the way done before the movie, before I had to walk into the theater. Like, I was finishing it on the subway. But so I knew everything from the book except actually how it ended. So I thought that was a great way to go in because then it was
still... Was he, very minor spoiler, was he driving at that point?
No, he was still like,
okay,
might die in space.
Oh, well, until like the very, very, end.
Driving like across the red planet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, oh, okay. Most of the book, he's driving across the red planet.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. No,
I would say like 5% of the book.
I read until like he like attempted to leave Mars.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if he lives or dies. I don't know how this ends.
You're like, I don't know if he's going to make it through TSA. I don't know if like his flight's going to get delayed.
What I did not like about The Martian was how they changed the ending as far as his rescue is concerned, like who rescues him. Because they made it like Jessica Chastain was like, no, I'm the captain of the ship. I'm going to go and rescue him. And I was like, how about being a good manager and trusting the people who have like trained for this for weeks?
But I'm the biggest movie star, so
I gave a thumbs up. But I did like that after that, they gave a like, where are they now kind of thing and like showed him afterwards too.
Yeah, sometimes
the book
really
just
like
ended
it when,
flat.
Yeah. I don't always like it when movies do that, and they're like, let's have another 10 minutes of epilogue. But yeah. The Martian did that really well.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, just not quite as much as I thought I would.
I probably like it second most in my household. That said, I love the movie, and like I'm amazed that this has not been bought on DVD in my house.
Is it out on DVD?
I believe so. Only well, like maybe not, because I saw it on a flight, so I don't... Yeah. So that might
I don't
not
know what the
DVD
timing
yet.
Is.
Yeah.
All right. I'm curious if you saw my number one movie then, because Pixar made Inside Out, and it was amazing.
I did not see Inside Out.
Inside Out was so good.
I almost put Inside Out on my list, and I was like, wait, I didn't see that.
I mean, it was everything a good Pixar movie is. It was funny. It was relatable. It was touching. It was sad. And it was, I mean, it showed like what being a sad child is about. And it showed Amy Poehler being really funny and Lewis Black yelling.
And you love Amy Poehler.
What else? I do love Leslie Knope is the greatest, as we might see in the TV department. But yeah, Inside Out was... I saw Trainwreck and Inside Out on the same day, and they both were extremely good.
Yeah, Inside Out is a movie that I did not see. I also did not see the other Pixar release from this year, The Good Dinosaur.
I didn't either. It doesn't sound like it was great, but it. I would like to see it.
Yeah. I was amazed that Pixar released two movies in 1 year.
Yeah, that's true. Although, The Good Dinosaur had been refigured. It was supposed to come out last year, I think. Gotcha. But they, like, totally redid things. What did you see that might have made your... Or what did you not see that might have made your list? Because I wanted to see Room. I didn't see Carol, which I don't think I'll... I mean, it's that kind of prestige picture that, you know, is good, but yeah. It's never your favorite movie. I want to see Sisters. The Revenant, I don't know. It was, you know, another one of those where not sure why it was as amazing as people thought. Mad Max also. I mean, some people just love that movie, and I just thought it was just like all the other ones with better effects.
The five movies that I think that I haven't seen that I... The top five movies that I haven't seen yet that I think could dethrone any of my top five movies are Mad Max Fury Road, Inside Out, Bridge of Spies, Amy, the Amy Winehouse documentary, and Straight Outta Compton. Each of those is supposed to be great, and none of them I've seen yet. And then, you know, also, The Revenant looks like 3 hours of, I'm not sure if I'd actually enjoy this as much.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was really well done, but...
And Dope looks really good, too. Dope's
Dope did
to
look
see
good.
This summer,
I don't think I saw too much about it, but I did want to see it.
It was playing at BAM, and I kind of regret not going to see it.
Elijah Wood made a really small movie called Cooties.
Oh.
Which is...
I did see that. I got a... Oh, I have that on DVD. You can borrow it if you want.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I mean, it definitely could... I mean, it's one of those low-budget horror things that could definitely be terrible.
Yeah,
or
it was
okay.
It was... I'll put it this way. It reminded me thematically... Of like Shaun the Dead and Hot Fuzz, but wasn't nearly as good as those movies.
Which those were two really good movies.
Yeah,
I also didn't see Sisters with Tina and Amy.
Yeah,
I really want to see that and Krampus because I love the character of Krampus. Mm. But and I think Adam Scott might be in that.
No, and you love Adam Scott.
I do. I did. He was in The Overnight, which I just saw, which and with Jason Schwartzman, and it was only okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Overnight Delivery, which is a completely different
movie. Ant-Man was in.
Yeah.
All
which
right.
Almost Road Trip.
Also with The Hateful Eight. I don't know really anything about it besides Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Movies
are so 2015.
Let's do TV shows because they're like short movies.
All right. They are like short movies.
I'll let you start.
Especially
next time, since...
thanks to Netflix. They're just like kind of long movies, actually.
That's a good point.
Master of None, I put at number five.
Oh.
I stopped watching a couple shows, but there also just aren't as many shows on that I really want to see. Although Netflix is heavily represented. Oh, wow. I didn't realize how heavily.
Yeah,
I would say Netflix has, five of my top 10.
Netflix almost had three of my top five, but I bumped one of them. Yeah, it seems to be Netflix and HBO. Are the two representing the most of my top five. Master of None did not make my list. Did you watch the whole season of it?
I did.
I thought like the episode with the immigrant parents, that episode...
That was amazing.
...was one of the best episodes of any TV show of the past year. But overall, I thought the show was good, but not great.
But you didn't finish it.
I did finish it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought the last couple episodes were really great.
And
I thought the way they handled the relationship and all the parts of it was amazing. There were a lot of times when, you know, I kind of liked where he was going with it, but it didn't totally pay off.
Yeah.
But as a whole, yeah, I didn't 100% love it, but every episode had really good parts. Mm. And there are enough really good parts that there are a lot of shows I like, but... It elevated slightly above those.
And for casting his real mom and dad to play his mom and dad, they were adorably fantastic. Well, not fantastic, but you know, like they were super cute in it. I thought they did a good job for non-professional actors.
I mean, I think part of that is just his parents act kind of funny,
right.
And that's cute to see, like how they really act.
Yeah,
Because, I would assume that they weren't playing a role. They were
mostly playing
being themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
My number five was, I think, my number one last year. And that's game. No, wait. I take that back. My number five was also a Netflix show. It's Making a Murderer.
I didn't see it.
It's very good. I don't want to spoil anything from it because I know a lot of people are still watching it. And if you haven't seen it yet, I don't want to tell you how it ends. But it's a very frustrating show because it's very similar to Serial, which makes me think you would love it. Serial season one, I'm talking about.
Can I pause for a second and just say, I mean, of course people are free to have their opinions, but I think just to start just actually hating the show Serial because of how the first season ended, wasn't it amazing for at least the first 10 or 11 episodes? Like, didn't you love it? So why would you all of a sudden say, oh, it was trash because of how it ended? I just really don't like that mindset that wasn't it a fun ride? And also, what were you expecting, that she would, you know, solve a cold case? Like, it'd be cool, but I don't know. I just hear more and more since the second season started. And it's just, you're expecting a lot of a TV show to, or a podcast to, you know, be perfect up through the end. And why does it diminish how much you liked it before just because of the way it ended?
I thought the ending was a big letdown. I wouldn't say that I thought Serial was trash, though. Similar to Lost, I loved the ride, hated the ending.
Yeah, and I liked the ending of Lost. Or I didn't like the way they interpreted it, but I liked my interpretation of the end of Lost.
Which is what?
I don't remember anymore. Okay. And at like 2 or 3 years after it ended, I was like, I want to rewatch this. Wait a second, I don't remember the context I wanted to rewatch this in because it's been a while. And so I don't remember what the ending was. But I remember they came out with their explanation of this is what we're trying to do. And I was like, I don't like that. Makes sense my way.
Yeah, I was like towards the final, like halfway through the final season of Lost, I was like, I'm wondering how they're going to wrap this up because they seem to be introducing more mysteries than they're solving. Yeah. The first season of Serial, like we were an episode or two away from it ending, and I was like, how is this going to wrap up? I really hope it's not completely open-ended.
And the other part of it is, if you're expecting her to, you know, all of a sudden, knowing that she's investigating at the time she's making it, if, or they, because it wasn't one person, but if you're expecting her to drop a bombshell and be like, here's the smoking gun, it's not very, you know, cool to just withhold the facts of a court case
until
it makes good TV.
But I feel like they did that anyway, because while they said they were investigating it while it was going on, it was like, all right, this episode, oh, Adnan did it. Next episode, oh no, Adnan didn't do it.
Sure,
next
but it
episode,
wasn't.
Adnan did it. And I'm like, well, they're clearly manipulating our emotions.
Right,
here.
But they weren't doing anything that they could, like, take to the police.
Yeah.
Which,
okay.
I mean, the Jinx had that issue, but I didn't see it.
And yeah, I didn't see the Jinx either.
So I can't comment completely.
Well, I watched one episode of the Jinx, and it didn't draw me in the way that Making a Murderer did. And Making a Murderer really does come across as the successor of Serial Season 1. More so than Serial Season 2 does. And the problem with Making a Murderer, though, is that I could not watch more than one episode at a time because it is such a frustrating show just watching to see how this guy and his family seems to get screwed over by the criminal justice system time and time again.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, and I read things about it because I was fine being spoiled with it. Mm. And I don't know how much you finished it, right?
Yeah, I finished it.
And have you read anything else about it?
I've started Making a Murderer Flipboard magazine, if anybody would like to subscribe to it. So for Making a Murderer.
Yeah, and it seems like he probably got screwed over by the police, but maybe he did it anyway.
I don't know.
It's worth pointing out that injustice, but just, and I know absolutely nothing besides what the articles say.
Watching the show and then reading some follow-up articles, I really think he got screwed over by the police, especially his nephew. And I also do not think either of them did it. Hmm. That said, as far as Serial, like, after I listen to Serial, I do think Adnan did it. So, like,
yeah,
I'm on team Adnan.
And got screwed over by the police at the same time a little bit.
Yeah, like, I feel like Adnan, like, shouldn't have been convicted, but at the same time, I feel like Haley's murderer was convicted.
Yeah.
With this case, I feel like they got the wrong guy, and the real killer is still out there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but there's something that, I haven't watched The Jinx, I haven't watched Making a Murderer. maybe just I don't feel like putting that time into it again after Serial, but I don't know. I'm not rushing to see them.
You
I'm
were
sure
so
good.
Into Serial Season 1. That's why I think you would enjoy
it was so
Making
good.
A Murder.
Yeah.
It, Making a Murder is the same quality as Serial Season 1.
With no, a, you don't think
with
it's...
With a better, with a more definitive ending.
Do you think it's biased in favor of the guy?
Is it biased in favor of the guy?
Because definitely... from what I've read, it's people seem to say, whether or not he did it, they seem to be... I mean, they left out things, and it seems to be more a search to vindicate him rather than a search for the truth.
No, I don't think it's biased in favor of him. I think it definitely is in favor of him, but I wouldn't call it a bias.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I mean, there's so many things in the world to watch like, that...
I was reading an article today
I
about...
I just haven't gotten to it.
...things the documentary left out, and they pointed out a bunch of things that the former, the guy who prosecuted the case, who comes across as 100% evil... just in his like courtroom tapes and stuff, they interviewed him and he leaves all these things that the documentary left out. But a lot of that is like hearsay and allegations that are made by this police department, which was being sued by him before he was arrested for murder. But the biggest piece of things that the documentary left out is that one of the sheriff's deputies' like father-in-laws was on the jury, which I was like, how did he get on the jury?
That's a little weird.
Yeah. I was like, how did the Stephen Avery's defense lawyers like let this guy onto the jury?
Yeah, on that note,
like,
did
how
you,
the judge let him onto the jury?
Did you watch New Girl this week?
I didn't. I'm a little behind
New
Girl.
Never mind. There's a jury thing that was happened that was a little weird plot point.
I've only seen the first episode of this new season. So
oh, the second one was so good. I wonder if we'll talk about New Girl.
Well, I think that's part of my post-podcasting, post-shoveling Blizzard plans. It's blizzarding in New York City.
Wow, spoiler alert. New Girl isn't on my list, and I don't even have it anywhere near. I think it's just been so long since it was on that I forgot to include it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was pretty good last year.
New Girl was great last year.
I mean, it's still one of the only shows I still watch on TV, as opposed to Netflix. And I don't know. For some reason, I just never wrote it down.
New Girl is not on my list. I won't tell you where, though.
I don't know. Anyway, Making a Murder. My number four was Wet Hot American Summer, First Day at Camp.
I did not like it that much.
I loved it, but it wasn't perfect.
I thought it was good, but... I thought it was okay, actually.
I just liked being in that world again.
Sure.
It was fun.
Sure, sure.
But no, it was nowhere near perfect, and, you know...
And some people are like, oh, did you watch Wet Hot again right before watching it? And I said, no. And they're like, oh, then you probably missed a lot of jokes. I was like, I think I got enough of the jokes.
No, I've seen Wet Hot like 20 times. I don't think I missed anything. I'm pretty confident I remember everything down to the tube socks.
My favorite in the show is Paul Rudd. I think like he stole every scene that he was in. But it
in
might
the
be
new
because
one or
he
the...
aged oh. the best out of everybody. Like Michael Showalter.
I disagree. He did not age at all.
Yeah.
He does not qualify.
Yeah.
We will not discuss Michael Showalter out of respect.
Michael Showalter.
We will
what
not
happened?
Discuss Michael Showalter out of respect. It's just rude. Michael Showalter is a fine young man.
Oh my God. He has aged worse than Brendan Dassey has in prison. Bringing it back to Making a Murder.
I've heard the name at least, so I knew where you're going with that one.
Yeah. Michael Showalter. Yeah. Oh my God. Former Brooklyn Heights resident.
Yeah. I mean, it was just fun. Like, none of the revelations of, like, where did that talking can of vegetables come from? That wasn't amazing, but it was fun.
Michael Showalter was, like, arguably the best looking guy in the state. Not saying that they're, like, all male models.
Wait, Showalter?
State. Yeah. He was a handsome man when he was a young man.
I mean,
he was a little like he
was. I mean, he, I'm not
he
saying
like
he was
model,
not good looking.
He wasn't model handsome.
But Ken Marino is by far the.
Okay,
I mean,
that's fair.
Ken Marino's a big strapping paisan.
That is true.
I mean, Ken and Marino, Michael Ian Black, very famous.
Very famous.
Yes.
Okay, definitely like the best three.
Carrie Kinney is a handsome woman.
That's true. Thomas Lennon. Ken Marino, Michael Showalter. Michael Showalter had that like youthful vibe, even though they're all around the same age. Michael Showalter seemed to have that youthful vibe to him. Like he dressed really cool, and he is not aged well at all. And like it's not even like because it's a 20 years later thing. Because I saw him in a restaurant like 5 years ago, and he still looked Michael Showalter state-ish and less like, what the hell happened to you in Wet Hot American Summer, ouch, the TV show?
Ouch. I'm Michael Showalter.
Look, Michael Showalter. Yeah, sorry. If Michael Showalter ends up listening to this at some point,
like, I don't feel like he looks that different.
It's not too late to turn it around.
I mean, I haven't seen him in any restaurants lately, but I feel like anything else I've seen him in, he's aged. You know, he's.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this has not been a good year for him. Maybe it's time to.
I was just happy to see Marguerite Moreau in another role because, as whatever that girl's name was that she was. That Michael Showalter was trying to get with the whole time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was her name in the show?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
She
was in Wet Hot American Summer and Adorable. She was in Queen of the Damned at the time when I was reading Anne Rice novels. So, you know, worked out for me.
This is back
but
when
she
Brian
had a pretty small part.
This is back when Brian used to wear, like, leather dusters and walk around with black lipstick on.
Yeah, like I said, so 2014, she was in The Queen of the Damned. And then this, and I know, like, every couple of years I look her up on IMDb, and I guess she acts, but not enough.
I know we're a big fan of tangents on this show, so I'm about to take one here. Speaking of Anne Rice, are her fans possibly the most annoying fans in the world?
I don't know.
I remember in college.
I know. I've only known one.
It wasn't
the
you.
One that I've only known one and a half. The one that, like, first got me to read one, and I was like, yeah, these are pretty good. I mean, it was long after an Interview with a Vampire. It was probably 2004, 2005. And, like, they were, you know, for vampire novels, they were good.
Here's like, every conversation I've ever had with an Anne Rice fan. We'd be talking about, like, Buffy or, like, a new Dracula-based movie, and they would say, well, that's not how vampires really act. Because if you read Anne Rice, you would know that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, those are novels too.
Yeah, like, but Anne Rice was a vampire.
Like that would, well, okay.
She would know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anne Rice fans, most annoying fans in the world. Glad, thankfully, like vampires, they seem to have died out.
I don't know. I'm sure I could think of a more annoying fan, but I'm just blanking right now.
I don't think
now.
You can.
It's gotta be.
I don't think you can. Like, I would take the most hardcore Star Wars fan or Star Trek fan over an Anne Rice fan any day of the week.
It's just, that's a hard comparison because there's so many Star Wars fans that take such a different stripe. And you, that everyone loves Star Wars, so you can't just say they're like
that's
those
true.
Nerds.
Yeah.
Because there's also all sorts of nerds that like Star Trek, Star what's it called?
Stargate.
Yeah. And, you know, so there's those guys wearing their Stormtrooper Stargate outfits and those guys wearing their
People
other
can't
outfits.
See the smoke like coming out of my ears right now.
You know, beat me up, Scotty.
Oh,
I think so we're up to year
Anne
number
Rice
four.
Was number year number four?
Yeah, that? Anne Rice. Anne Rice is, and then she wrote like bondage novels.
Really?
And
that's when you really got into Anne Rice.
I think I saw one like on a you know, one of those guys on the street, not homeless guys. But the guys with the table of books on the street. And I was like, oh, this is that thing I've heard of. I'll pay a dollar for it. And it
you
was
did buy it?
Just a dirty novel. Just a dirty book.
And that's going to be in your top five once we get to books, I assume.
Oh, that was, top this was one. Back, this was 10 years ago when I was reading Anne Rice books.
Gotcha. My number four, we're up to number four, right?
I think so.
My number four is New Girl.
Yeah, I love that show.
And I think this was my number one or number two show last year.
It was probably my number one or two.
It might have been my number one. I remember being chastised by my brother last year when we were talking about like our top five TV shows. And I was like, oh, New Girl's my favorite. He's like, New Girl's your favorite? Like, that can't be your favorite show.
So good.
And then I remembered Game of Thrones, and I was like, oh, okay, no, it's my number two. But New Girl was great. It, you know, because of Zooey Deschanel's pregnancy, it didn't come back until January this year, which I think made it fall out of a lot of people's radar, and they kind of like forgot about it.
But when you start catching up, Ferguson came back last week.
Oh, nice!
I love Ferguson.
I'm only two episodes behind, so
yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to catching up on that show. And consistently, one of the best shows. And I do like that they brought Coach back last season.
Oh yeah,
like it was good to have like. Basically, you know, he was on a sitcom that he didn't think was going to be renewed, and then it ended up getting renewed after he did the New Girl pilot.
Right, right.
And then they replaced him with Winston.
Never cared about happy endings, though. Did you ever watch it?
I did not like happy endings.
I watched the first couple. Maybe it got better, but...
Yeah. And that's where my brother and I differ again. I think Happy Endings was like, he was a huge fan of it.
Like Happy Endings and Mindy Project, I started watching, and I could not stand. And then... I don't. Maybe they got better. I feel the same way about 30 Rock too.
I'll give them
like the first couple 30 Rocks were shitty, and people say it got a lot better. And I like the people involved, but all three of those shows, I don't have the time to go back to.
I'll give them any product. This whenever I watch the cold open, I enjoy it. I'm like they're great at doing cold opens. However, if I watch it any past there, I'm like I hate that show. Why am I watching this? And Hulu always recommends Mindy Project to me because yeah. That's where I watched New Girl. And then I'm like, now up is Mindy Project. I'm like, no, Hulu, no.
Well, you started to fall asleep. We're going to play this show you don't like.
No. And like, I'm like,
you better jump up and hit stop.
They're like, you're a remote control. You left it in the kitchen. You better go get it.
Part of it, I mean, I legitimately like don't care for the show, but part of it is that that asshole from the newsroom is on it. I think he's... Chris Russo? I don't think that's his name.
Is he like the romantic
like Mindy's boyfriend now?
Yeah, I only watched the first episode of the news.
I mean, it was a while. Like, he was on it, but yeah, he was a total douche on the newsroom, and I feel like he's been in other things, and I've hated him. Just his character. Like,
gotcha.
As an actor, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
So he's good at dating the jerk guy.
Yeah, and he was that at the beginning of the Mindy Project, but apparently now they're dating, and... Sorry, spoilers for the Mindy Project. And no, I just hate that guy.
You've given me more about the Mindy Project than I ever got from those 30 seconds I've watched at a time on Hulu before turning
you
off.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Number three. Ah, back to Netflix. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So good. So good.
I only saw a couple episodes of that, and I want to watch the whole series.
Oh, man, it is. There's just so many little tiny... hilarious things, and it's mostly stupid hilarious things,
right?
And I love stupid hilarious things.
And that are Tina Fey and Amy Poehler behind that show?
Tina Fey and some other guy from Robert Carson, not the guy's name from 30 Rock.
Gotcha.
But they created it, and they have another new show coming out now, but or no, they made that movie about her in Afghanistan or something.
I don't know.
It's coming out soon. And so, yeah, Tina Fey basically made it. And I never watched The Office, so I don't know anything about Ellie Kemper. But
she was cute on The Office.
She's amazing.
She's very adorable on The
Office.
Everything
about that show is great.
The Kimmy Schmidt character seems very similar to her character on The Office.
And what's her name from 30 Rock? And Ally McBeal is also in it, and she's great.
Oh, the blonde
Jane
lady.
Krakowski? Yeah.
Yes.
I was afraid I was saying the name of the Malcolm in the Middle lady.
Oh, okay.
Bradley Whitford's wife.
Right. No.
Jane Kesmerick.
Yeah.
She's not in it.
No. We sat next to them at Broadway show once, though. And Bradley Whitford clapped with his hands over his head, and I love it. I caught the Bradley Whitford.
Oh, he must have loved it.
I think it was Spring Awakening. Oh, and it was, yeah, because we had shown up right before the curtain and had to climb over Bradley Whitford and his wife to get to our seats and did not realize that at the time.
Were they so rude about it?
I didn't realize it was him. I think he said, "Oh, we waited to start the play for you guys."
Oh.
And I was
Josh.
Like, and I didn't realize it was him until we got up to go to the bathroom and then, like, you know, during intermission and saw. And I was like, "Hey, wait a second, that's Bradley Whitford." And then I just paid attention to the way he claps, which was kind of odd, but kind of fantastic.
So you were just watching him instead of the show?
No, Spring Awakening is a great show. We saw it, that was back with the original cast, but we saw this new revamped version of it on Broadway, and that's also great with the School of the Deaf Kids.
Duncan Sheik.
Yeah, Duncan Sheik, yeah. Barely breathing.
Yeah.
We're doing my number three?
I think so.
I'm barely coherent.
Yo.
Beer and wine will do that to you. We drink a lot on this podcast. Let's see.
I think that's pretty evident.
Fair enough. My number three. I had to come up with a better way of numbering my list. So I'm just going to show this to Brian. You see, I number things 1 through 5, but then in parentheses write out like what order I would put them in. And it,
wait, so you say, all right, here's 5 things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
But that's not the order I like
but,
them in.
Exactly. Like,
why don't you just not put the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and count in your head? That, yes, I have 5 items.
Oh, well, because I like to see them visually in front of me.
I'm just saying so that you know that you have 5 things.
Right. Well, there's also some crossouts, too, and I realize that there's something else. So my number three is Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
That is the best theme song on television.
Yeah, that's...
And also so good.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's The Daily Show, but better.
Yeah. And I think... partly because they have more time to delve into an issue.
Yes.
They do basically 20 minutes per thing.
Yes.
Instead of everything's 5 minutes
and
each.
No commercial breaks.
No commercials. That's true. And also that you don't have to watch it every night. So when it's weekly, it's like an event.
Yes.
Like if I miss a Daily Show, big deal.
Yeah.
Like I'll watch Daily Show just for the important ones. But Last Week Tonight, I'm going to watch it every week because it's only weekly.
I definitely watched more Last Week Tonight this year than Daily Shows.
I would. If you count the Daily Shows I've like put on Hulu and then taken naps during, maybe not.
I'm not going to count ones you slept through.
All right. Then it's probably roughly even.
Yeah. I'm not counting anything. Like, how many of your top fives did you sleep through?
I mean, I watched them once and then I slept through them again. But no, Daily Show, it's just a good thing to, like, you know, put on. And if you fall asleep, you're not missing much.
Gotcha. Yeah. John Oliver is fantastic. Yeah. When the show started, people were like, oh, it's too much.
So would you say he's better than Jon Stewart? Or the format of the show is why it's better.
He's different than Jon Stewart.
True. I'm making you say who's better.
Who's better? That's tough because Jon Stewart kind of like redefined The Daily Show. And John Oliver is getting a lot of his mannerisms on Last Week Tonight from Jon Stewart.
What's the matter, Billy? Can't answer the hard questions?
Yeah, I'll go with Jon Stewart.
All right. Probably.
Yeah. The show itself, though, currently is better than The Daily Show, and that includes when Jon Stewart was on The Daily Show.
Have you watched the new Daily Show?
I've seen a couple episodes.
I've seen a couple. And
Yeah. They did a good job of keeping it the same.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he doesn't have Jon Stewart's je ne sais quoi.
Remember when Jon Stewart, like, wasn't Daily Show with Jon Stewart? Like, he was just a comedic actor / stand-up comedian?
Like, you wrote it, you watch it.
Yeah. And, like, even before that, he would...
I remember there was, like, a Comedy Central hour or half hour that I really liked. And just a guy.
Well, I remember growing up, he and it might have been Rosie O'Donnell, like, co-hosted this morning show on the Comedy Channel before it became Comedy Central.
Wow.
And it was basically just them, like, showing clips of stand-up comedians. And
like
then they
premium
were...
blend with the host?
Kinda, yeah. And yeah. And
I don't think
that.
We ever had the Comedy Channel.
Okay.
I don't think we got it until it was
and
the
then,
comedy.
You know, and then he was just, like, one of Adam Sandler's sidekicks, like, in his movies.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a good stand-up comedian, too. Yeah.
They wasted the good surprise on Adam Sandler.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love Last Week Tonight. I do feel, and I started feeling that way about The Daily Show, that it is preaching to the choir just a little too much.
Yeah.
And that I can't imagine anyone who disagrees with their points ever watching it to be convinced.
That's fair. I bet there's an alternate version of this podcast, like the Brian with an I and Willie show, where they talk about Fox News this way.
Probably. They're like, you know, Gretchen Carlson makes some great points. She's not just a pretty face.
Fox News is the only one who'll tell the truth about Donald Trump.
Tell the truth. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You know, objectively speaking, the best thing about Last Week Tonight is probably just bringing issues to people's attention. And like the stadium financing thing, I've seen articles because I read sports websites about how horrible it is that the public finances stadiums and doesn't get anything back. And it's nice that they, you know, present that to the people.
And I like the way they present things. And I also like the analogies that he uses.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's certainly funny,
yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where it's just... We all agree with you. These are easy pickings for you because you know we're going to agree with you. And it's still hilarious, but there's that part of me that's just like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I expect them to do better, but it's just like, this is a little too easy for you.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, like every episode just never fails to impress me. I love every episode.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My second favorite show on HBO. Give you a hint.
And my favorite show on HBO. And give you a hint.
Wow.
Shocked. And the theme song, if you don't know, I think it's been on this. It was my song of the summer a couple years ago, is by Valley Lodge, starring Dave Hill.
Yeah.
Is Go. It's such a good song.
Realize that was a real song until Dave Hill told us that on stage and then performed it.
And then like a couple weeks later, they performed it on the show.
Yeah.
There was an episode of Song Exploder, which very nearly was my number 5 podcast, which jumping into the future, where Dave Hill talked about the song on Song Exploder, which is a podcast where they talk about how a song is created, whether it's how they wrote the song or just how they recorded it. A great podcast, and you should look up that episode because it's great. But for TV, my number two, which I'm really hard-pressed not to put this at number one, was BoJack Horseman, which is on Netflix. Have you watched BoJack?
I've never heard of it.
It is the greatest thing.
Really?
It's Will Arnett as a horse in a world full of some animals and some people.
I've seen pictures of this and had no idea what it was.
It's so good.
Gotcha.
It's a horse who had an 80s sitcom.
Okay.
Season two came out this year. Season one was pretty great, and I don't think I had it on my list last year. But season two was just so many amazing parts.
Hmm.
And so Will Arnett plays a horse named BoJack Horseman who had a sitcom in the 80s where he adopted some orphans and raised them. And he's a horseman, and they were three human children. And
Is he a reverse centaur?
No, he's two legs, two arms,
Does
horse
he have
head.
Fingers or hooves?
Possibly, who knows?
Okay.
No, he has hands. He definitely has hands. He might have hooves on his feet. I don't know, but he might have feet.
Like,
but he does not have four hooves and two arms, like a centaur.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He is a standing upright horseman.
Right, right.
As opposed to a
man horse. Yeah, so head of a horse, body of a human.
Yeah. But the show is not about him in the 80s. The show is about him currently as a washed-up sitcom star.
Mm.
And Paul F. Tompkins is in it as Mr. Peanut Butter, who is a dog who had basically the rip-off show of BoJack's show. And so he was a dog who adopted people, and so BoJack hates him because he was a dog.
He was the monkeys to BoJack's
and heels. Basically, yeah. And so it's basically BoJack is this horse with the most...
The Family Guy to BoJack Simpsons?
I would... No.
Hmm.
But it just presents... I mean, I don't have clinical depression, I assume. And so...
the Mr. Belvedere to BoJack's Charles in Charge.
But I would assume that, you know, their presentation of depression is just spot on. And it's just like, you don't see people depressed on TV. If you do, they're a very special episode. This is just a guy who's going through life and he's, you know, he's just not happy. And it just presents it in a real way. And it's amazing and also super funny.
Did you just relate too much to it, Brian?
And I related to it. And as a washed-up sitcom star, I was like, they get me. But also, there's some of the characters are human. Some are animals.
Gotcha.
Jesse from Breaking Bad is BoJack's friend slash person crashing on his couch.
I think I would have been more excited
if
it was Jesse from Full House or Jesse from Saved by the Bell.
I don't have Grandfathered on my list or Showgirls.
I actually enjoyed the few episodes of Grandfathered.
It's okay.
That I saw.
It's all Padgett Brewster and the rest is whatever, but she's great. But yeah, so BoJack, you have to watch it. It's so good. And there are so many funny things.
The Grinder, speaking of...
Not great.
You saw the pilot. Pilot was pretty good.
I mean, Rob Lowe is great.
Right.
But, yeah. But BoJack is just... I've watched it so many times. Partly because it's great to take naps to, because you can wake up and see a funny thing.
Right.
But I've actually just watched it awake many times, because it's not that long and it's so good.
My number two? We're up to number two?
Yeah.
My number two is my number one from last year, Game of Thrones. I think it was my number one from last year. And this
Probably.
Season was great, but my number one show just blew it away. And Game of Thrones, yeah, continues to be great. It's interesting. Each season seems like in the hiatuses of the TV series, like between seasons, between seasons three and four, I read the books up to the end of season four.
Okay.
Which covered the first three books, I think. And
I told you I'm not good with numbers.
Books four and five cover this most recent season. But the first season of Game of Thrones, very similar to the first book. With the second season, they start taking liberties. And now that I'm reading the most recent Game of Thrones book, I'm like, wow, they changed a lot on the show compared to the books. That said, still love the show. And I think the show is better than the books.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've read enough fantasy novels and Anne Rice bondage novels to know that sometimes it's a little better to be shortened into a book, into a TV show.
Yeah, I really like, and I know a lot of the people who are fans of the books first have their issues with the show. I think, if anything, the show has improved upon the books.
Yeah, no comment. Haven't read the books.
Gotcha.
I could buy it.
I'm a little over halfway through
just from
the most recent book, which is over 1,000 pages long, so I'm 600 pages into this book, yeah. And only about halfway through it.
Just from, reading news articles about George R. R. Martin, and I could imagine that as a dude who writes books that kind of get lengthy and aren't amazing.
Yeah. No, but, the
I mean, I love the world he created. Yeah. Like, as a whole, great job, and I'm not going to sit here and criticize him for writing slowly because I couldn't write a fucking book. But
especially at like 1,000 pages.
Yeah, I couldn't write it.
Are great.
I've written brochures before, but that's about it.
The books are great. It isn't like, say, a book like, say, The Maze Runner, which is garbage. Decent movie, terrible book. Come at me, Maze Runner fans. I dare you. And
The Maisies are gonna be all on your shit.
But the Song of Ice and Fire books are great. I just think the TV show is better.
I can see that.
But not as good as my number one show, which I will reveal later.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I've always loved, but not loved to that extent, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones didn't make your top five last year either, and I was shocked then. And now I've just come to expect it.
You know, I like it a lot, but just doesn't do it for me the way it does for you. But I did. I was catching up on some...
My favorite TV show based on games.
See, I'm more of a Thrones person, and I don't feel like they give the Thrones enough to work with. Mm. Like, there's the one throne.
Are you upset?
Like, how many other thrones are there?
Well, because you take Thrones very seriously, and they make a game of it in the show.
It's like Thrones are, like, pretty serious. Like the throne in my home, my porcelain throne, right. Like, I take it seriously. Not as seriously as some friends, who I won't name, although I think they'd be proud of it. I have some friends who, in their bathroom, have a bidet attachment to their toilet.
Bidets are amazing.
And... just, I mean,
kind of wish I had one.
Just to do that, whether or not you actually like it, that's pretty cool.
You want to hear an
imitation also,
of the other day?
At parties, they have whale sounds and colored lights playing in their bathroom.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, as a person who is before ranked bathrooms in the city as best bathrooms in the city, Spice on University Place and Modo, you know who you're talking to.
Places where Brian has gotten a blowjob in a bathroom.
Like, great places to piss.
Yeah.
Wiz Palaces. They really put the palace in the name.
Brian's favorite bar, Wiz Palace.
That's a reference for my number one show.
What's
what are you
going to
say?
We got on such
bidets.
A toilet tangent.
My number one show.
Toilet tangent is a new hashtag for this episode.
I don't think my number one show has been on since March or maybe April.
New Girl.
And very close.
Agent Carter.
And, I do want to see. Did you watch the new Agent Carter?
No, I was at a birthing
excited
class
for Peggy.
On Thursday.
But when it aired, the last two or three episodes were so good, I actually made a mental note. And I was like, this really needs to be, like, nothing's going to top this. This has to be my first. I can't just be like, it's not on for the next 8 months.
Daredevil?
I can't just be like, oh, I haven't seen it in a while. It wasn't so good. But Parks and Rec ended so well.
They just
did such a good job. And it's always been my favorite show since it's been on. Well, season one sucked. But the way they went out, they did it so well. And, I mean, they jumped ahead 3 years for the final season, and it didn't suck.
That's
which
great.
Most shows would suck if they tried to, like, totally change everything.
Oh, definitely.
But they... dealt with the characters well, and everything was really
good. Yeah, Parks and Rec is a show that I fell off a long, long time ago.
There were, I wouldn't even say dips in quality, but there were arcs that you could easily disagree with. Like, a lot of the stuff they did to Rashida Jones, just, she never fit in wonderfully. Mm. But I always liked it enough that I didn't detract. And just the writing is so good, and the way they care about the characters, it's amazing.
Nice. And that was your number one show?
Mm-hmm.
My number one show is also a network TV show, and it's The Goldbergs, which I love. I'm like a Goldbergs evangelist. Like,
you are.
I constantly try to get people to watch the show because I feel like it's one of the most underrated shows on TV. It just seems that, like, whenever I mention Goldbergs, people are like, oh, really, that show's funny? Because they were worried, like, oh, it looks like it would have been that 80s show. And I was like, no, it's on quality with, like, that 70s show, like, the earlier seasons of that. I like that each episode, the show takes place in 1980-something. So as long as it's an 80s thing, like, they don't follow from 1980 through 1989, they kind of go back and forth in the timeline of things that happen.
So in the writer's room, they're not like, shit, we forgot about Debbie Gibson.
Yeah.
We got to go back and how are we going to redo the timeline? They can just do whatever.
Yeah. Like,
that's a good way to go.
Their Paul's Boutique episode took place after, like, their New Kids on the Block episode.
Wait, their Beastie Boys episode was a Paul's Boutique episode?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it was Paul's Boutique.
Not, like, Licensed to Ill or Ill Communication?
It might have been Licensed to Ill. Which was the first album? Licensed to Ill?
Licensed to Ill was Fight for Your Right to Party.
It wasn't that one, though. Which was the
Unless
one...
it was Ill Communication.
Which had Shake Your Rump?
Well, that was Rex and Effects. Oh, no. I'm thinking Rump Shaker.
Yeah, that's Rump Shaker.
Paul's Boutique, I feel like, was sort of artsy. I actually don't know that album that well, but it was... I mean, it's one of their greatest albums.
They didn't even mention an album. It was more that they just about obsession with the Beastie Boys as opposed to, like, any specific album. Though the song Shake Your Rump played heavily into that episode.
I mean, that's actually a Beastie Boys song I don't know well, so it could have been. Let's see. Hella Nasty. Paul's Boutique.
But,
I don't see... Shake Your Rump was Paul's Boutique.
Yeah. I feel like I was looking at the album cover because I started listening to
it. Oh, Check Your Head. That's the... is that the first...
That's like the So What You What You Want album.
Yeah. I don't think...
But yeah, so the Goldbergs, every episode, not only is it focused on something from the 80s, but it also... The best part of the episode is that Adam Goldberg, the series creator, when he was a kid... had a VHS camcorder and would make a lot of home movies. And every episode ends with, like, the home movie that the episode is based on. So when they did their New Kids on the Block episode, it was him and his real life brother as kids making their own New Kids on the Block music video. And that episode is fantastic. Like, if you're going to watch one episode of the Goldbergs, go to season two, watch the New Kids episode, then go to season three, watch the Tasty Boys episode, which is their Beastie Boys episode.
Oh.
And, yeah,
it's continues. Like Tasty Boys, I don't remember them.
Yeah, that's because the older brother, Barry, calls himself Big Tasty. So when they decide to make a three-man rap group, they call themselves the Tasty Boys.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I think Adam Goldberg grew up in Long Island, but the show takes place just outside of Philadelphia in Jenkintown.
And this is not the Adam Goldberg who's on Friends and the Hebrew Hammer.
No.
Totally different Adam Goldberg.
This is Adam F. Goldberg.
And not the guy from the Gaffigan Show.
No.
Totally different Adam Goldberg.
That's Adam Goldberg. I'm sorry. This is Adam F. Goldberg, who I believe is the... But the host... I have a odd connection to the Goldbergs in that... When I was 12, I was on the Nickelodeon version of Jeopardy called Make the Grade.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
The host of that show, the original host of that show, because it had two hosts, Lou Schneider, is an executive producer on the Goldbergs. And I end up tweeting with him back and forth a lot. One, because I found him on Twitter after I was looking for my episode of Make the Grade.
Did you ever find that?
No, I still haven't.
Yeah. So you weren't actually on Make the Grade?
I have T-shirt and...
Yeah, a lot of people have T-shirts.
I might even have the canceled check from, like, not only was I on the show, I won that episode. Like, I was the champion.
So that canceled check, you have it on you?
Not on
your wallet?
No.
Let's see.
No,
because I've heard about this show, but then we watched hours of Make the Grade and didn't see Little William.
If anybody has access to the Nickelodeon library, if you could hunt down the episode... That it was Billy, obviously me, versus two girls. Because we did find an episode with a Billy, but it was a boy and a girl were his co-contestants.
And also, it wasn't you.
And it wasn't me. It was two. Like, I was on an episode with two girls. And here's the thing about that episode that I was on. So Make the Grade is like Jeopardy, except there are two breaks for physical challenges. And I was awful at the physical challenges. And the problem with the physical challenge...
I forgot this story. I'm going to interrupt real quick.
Sure.
I forgot this story and was like, God, I really hate being part of a sexist podcast where Billy's going to be like, and you always throw the physical challenge at the girl because she's going to... No, you always throw the physical challenge at Billy because he's awful at the physical challenge.
No, everybody does the physical challenge. Like, it comes up like the Daily Double. But instead of, like, betting, you know, your points, you have to go do this physical challenge.
Points.
And, like, I remember one of them was we had to throw a frisbee at a Target. And ooh, here's the thing. The winner of the physical challenge then gets to choose which seat they go back to. So, like, let's say I had 1,000 points, and second place had like 600 points, and third place had like 200 points because she was really dumb. Whoever won that physical challenge could have gone back to my seat and grabbed the 1,000-point chair.
This would be an awesome twist for anyone we know who runs like a wide-spanning trivia night in the city.
Possibly.
I mean, this would be a pretty cool way to shake things up.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I, on both physical challenges, came in dead last. So at the end of...
Oh, should I act surprised or... Yeah. What, Billy, last, I would have expected you to win. Oh.
I know. You would think so.
But, oh, boy.
Like, and people are like, but you run marathons. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really good at like running in a straight line with occasional curves. Huh. But anything that requires...
You do the same thing for such a long time.
Anything that requires coordination, I'm not good at all. Like basketball or hitting a baseball or, you know, whatever.
The slalom portion of the marathon is really what slows you down.
Is true. And that's what we call heading downhill on the Verrazano while people are taking selfies, right?
I thought that was the demolition derby part of it.
Oh, okay. Is the slalom on Fifth Avenue when it just gets really tight with spectators?
No, the slalom is the Gatorade zone of any winter race when they choose to have the race and it all ices up because people drop their drinks.
Fred LeBeau half marathon, RIP, yeah. Since they canceled that this weekend.
Man, I've not run that race more times than I've run that race.
Yeah, it's a great one to sign up for if you just want credit. So, and double credit, because you get half marathon, New York City half marathon credit for
that's
that
the
one,
truth.
Too. So anyway, at the end of the first physical challenge, I'm in dead last. I go back and work my way back up to first place. Second physical challenge, again, come in dead last. Have to work my way back up. And these two girls who I was competing against, they were pissed when I beat them both. Because I think one won the first physical challenge and the other won the second physical challenge. So they were kind of evened out and Chris basically got all their points from me getting more questions right than them and then stealing my seat. And then
this is the part where it turns into a sexist
was
podcast.
Constantly in the like the worst pointed chair and had to build my way back up, came back to win. How is that sexist?
I mean, you're just saying girls aren't smart.
I'm saying girls are athletic but dumb. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I was better at trivia than those two specific girls, but that they were both much more athletic than I am.
Sorry.
Which is everybody.
I've been watching Fox News a lot, so I just generalize when it suits my purposes.
Yeah.
So you would
you're
say
fair and balanced.
It. I know Make the Grade broadcast at least as far as Toronto, and there was a young boy named
Alistair?
Aubrey. Who watched that episode and he said, just like Billy, I started from the bottom. Now I'm here.
That's right. Yes, that is true. Just like Drake.
That's how the song goes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That song is probably based on my Make the Great episode.
I feel like they did a Degrassi that was your Make the Great.
Oh man.
And that's
if
that
anybody has
came.
That, I would love to see that as well. So yeah, Goldbergs. Go watch.
So
the
Make the Great, Billy's number one show.
If anyone has old tapes to Make the Grade, I cannot find my episode anywhere. Maybe one of my old classmates taped, because a lot of people from my junior high school were on Make the Grade because they did a local casting like in my town. And a lot of us won. Yeah, public school. But if anybody has all of our episodes on VHS, I can't find mine anywhere. I think my dad taped a Yankee game over mine. Thanks.
Is that true?
And
a Yankee game or an episode of The Blacklist?
No, because it was taped over long before The Blacklist came out. The tape has not been found. My dad used to like to tape Yankee games, so I'm just putting two and two together here.
All right. So, Make the Grade, The Goldbergs, Parks and Rec, BoJack.
So, yeah, we went through it. You went first, so we're done with TV, right?
Yeah, we're done with TV.
So we're done with movies and TV. We're an hour and 23 into this podcast.
Should we wait till next week?
Let's keep going. Super episode.
All right.
Will that load onto iTunes, right? You could have like a 3-hour podcast on
No, you could, but I wanted to stop it so I can go to the bathroom.
And then, oh, okay.
And then pretend we are starting up again next week.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so we don't want to overburden our listeners, so...
To be continued.
We will stop recording. We will start recording again a week from now.
Wink, wink.
Not after... All right. Yeah. That was coy, right?
Yeah, you
nobody sees through.
I'm going to call you Captain Coy from now on.
Oh, I love those little fish. Little fish.
Poi?
No. Koi.
Koi, yeah. Poi is koi. Not koi. Poi is not koi, right. Nor is it fish.
All right, so we're going to take a break. A 23-hour...
It's going to take Brian about a week to take a pee right now.
I don't know. We do drink a lot during these shows.
That is true.
All right, so we will see you...
Most of this wine bottle is gone.
We will see you in a week. But that was fun. TVs and movies.
In the meantime, listen to the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. Comes out every Tuesday night.
Yeah. Or any of those top five albums we just... Oh, we didn't do those yet.
We didn't do those yet. That's the next episode.
Damn it.
Go take your pee.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.